outside and jerk yourself a soda.
Amy Baker. I listen to him all the way home from work. Don and Mike on WJFK. Amy Baker.
Previously on the Don and Mike Show.
Aren't you the guy you say all the time, how am I doing?
I would say to people, how am I doing? And sometimes they would say, you're doing terrific.
No,
sometimes they would say, I don't like it. But it was a way of connecting with people. When I said, I'm Ed Koch, I'm your congressman, how am I doing? People stopped to talk.
So that is kind of your identifier.
Don, yeah. I think we ought to adopt that with our listeners.
I don't want to know, but I'm afraid for that answer.
The Don and Mike Show.
Mike, these guys have really got a kick-ass show. Don and Mike, they aren't afraid to go against the flow. Don and Mike is all you'll ever really need to know about real entertainment on the radio. Don and Mike, with Fuzz and Sherry and all the staff. Don and Mike, you know they're always gonna make you laugh. Don and Mike, you'll be addicted like a rat on crack. A day without them just ain't worth jack. And once you listen, you'll be tuning in again and again, so you can catch Highway Love Connection, script trivia, can you get the thing? Don and Mike, it's what you like about the radio. Don and Mike, with no music to break the flow. Don and Mike, for all occasions, it's the perfect show. They're the best thing on the radio. Don and Mike.
Treasures.
The best thing on the radio,
Don and Mike. Radio God. The best thing on the radio, Don and Mike. I'm thinking about Kathy Lee's trophy. How about you? I'm thinking about Frank's ex-wife, Astrid.
Consistently voted the number one radio show in America by Stupid Magazine. It's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Paul Turner, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide. Oh, no, fire up another one of those. Give me another one.
More jams than Smuckers.
Oh, I hate
more
this one.
Moves than Allied Bands. And more lines than Mob Bell.
No.
The Don and Mike Show.
No, that's bad. Bad.
You got to sass it, you jive turkey.
No.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm tiring of that one, too.
Well, you know, they come up the same day in the same order. We got to cycle through a couple of more. We got about 30 of them on here. Here's another one.
You never saw such a show. Senor Don, he's Senor Mike.
Now, we've stopped there before. Let's keep going.
Okay.
That way we'll have a fresh spot tomorrow. See,
good.
Thinking ever forward already.
You have that ability to think ahead.
Today's show history, already thinking about the beginning of tomorrow's show.
With a rich, meaty taste that your dog will love. The Don and Mike Show.
Have we ever stopped on that one before?
Let's go in just a couple more.
Okay, let's take a dive.
The next really juicy one we'll stop on.
On the internet, www.donmike.blowme.
Okay.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Sounds like a winner.
That's a good one. And like I was saying, Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. And thank you for listening to the program coast to coast and nationwide via Best with Von Entertainment. Well, it has finally happened, Mike.
Really?
We are the kings of Ocean City, Maryland.
Hallelujah!
Now, we have a radio show, which is number one in the ratings in Washington, in Sacramento, in Baltimore, in a lot of cities.
Right.
We hardly ever even talk about the ratings, and what, you know, they came out just a couple of weeks ago for most of the major markets that we're in.
Right.
We want to say thank you for listening across the country. And now, the spring ratings are coming in for the smaller market.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And the smallest market that we broadcast to,
right,
is the place where I go on vacation every year with my family, Ocean City, Maryland.
Very near and dear to your heart.
Right. I'd always maintain, if our show was ever on in Ocean City,
right,
we would skyrocket the number one immediately.
That's great.
Well, we have.
We did it.
We have. The ratings came out in the smallest market that we're in.
Excellent.
And in our first book, we're number one.
I love it.
Number one already.
Oh, that's great. Didn't take any time at all.
That means, I guess I could go into Tubby's Sub Shop now.
Yeah.
Get the proper respect. Hey,
you can walk into Tubby. You can tell Tubby that you got the highest rated show in Ocean City.
Mr. Number One right here. I could go into the Shade Shack.
The Shade Shack where they sell the sunglasses? That's
hey.
A guess on my part.
Number one.
Number one.
Go into Sensations, that place that's run by the Iranians.
Right.
where they try to make you think it's run by Americans, but it's really a bunch of Iranian investors who have come in and have taken over all of the beach trade in this sleepy mid-Atlantic town.
Put a couple of American flags up, and they want you to think that.
Well, what they did, really. Yeah, well, we could go into any place. Thank you for listening.
Yes,
wherever you're listening, we appreciate it. Thank you for giving us the ratings, and it's especially nice in this little town, Ocean City, Maryland, where they only get the ratings once a year.
That's terrific.
They get the ratings. We live with the incredible pressure of the ratings. Every month we get ratings.
That's great news, and they do it once a year because I think this time of year is when they want to get their ratings so they can show all the advertisers, hey, we're the station to advertise on during the summer.
Yeah, and actually I think even with this one all the way through Christmas,
right,
all the way till next year when they have their next rating period.
Good, but doesn't the population of Ocean City, it's like the population is 10 people during the winter, and then
yes,
in the summertime it balloons to 2 million.
Yes. So there you go. That's some good news that warms my heart. That's nice. Now I'll be able to call my father-in-law, you know, and maybe try to convince him that I'm finally a success.
There you go.
You know, because he lives up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both live up there. My mother and father-in-law live in this little town.
Big Frida and Les.
Yeah, so anyway, so thank you for that. Thank you for that news. That was very nice coming in today. Oh, and I've got some news of my own. Some rather exciting news of my own.
Uh-oh.
This is a sound that was recorded early this morning in my backyard.
Wow. Oh, I bet I know what you did.
I know it sounds like I was shoeing horses. Because that's the only sound effect we could find.
Were you a little Rosie the Riveter?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was, Mike.
Working on that treehouse.
Absolutely, I was. I was working on that treehouse. All of these contraptions going at once.
You did it. You got out there and your wife motivated you.
Yes, yes. I was finally shamed into doing this job, the treehouse, which I had started 2 years ago,
right,
for Bart, and I am not the handiest around the house, but it was a major deal 2 years ago to get the floor of this thing done. Now, the base of the treehouse is a tree that is split like the letter V.
Makes for a perfect location for a treehouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a pair of legs that are open. That's how...
Hey, there's an image.
That's how this tree is. It's
wonderful.
Like, it's like a woman with her legs, or a man with his legs, wide open.
And really, the expression you would use, this is the normal, it's the crotch of the tree,
right,
where you built the treehouse.
Right, absolutely. Right there in the crotch, built the platform,
yep,
built the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So now for the last 2 years, you look out in our backyard, you say, where's the treehouse? And you go, well, there it is back there. And you go, what?
You've shown it to me before.
That's a floor.
Yeah, there, right, there was like, there,
exactly,
are 2x4s and there's a piece of plywood,
right,
sitting on top of the...
No. It's not plywood.
It's not?
All the, you know, big sticks. Big
boards?
Big boards.
Like 2x4s?
Big boards.
Well, I guess it'd be 2x6s, right?
Probably. Whatever.
Well, not 2x6s. It'd be 2x8.
You know, big pieces
eight
of lumber. Big
planks.
Pieces of lumber. Yeah, planks.
Planks. That's
so it's 2x4s,
it
supporting, yeah, a bunch of planks.
Bunch of planks, and it was very tough work, and I'm not very good at it. And I've promised Bart over the last couple of years that I'll get out there and get on this. And finally,
right,
yesterday, my wife, the superwoman, she decides that she's going to go out and she's going to start doing this.
Right.
Well, I could not take it. I absolutely could not take it.
It was kind of emasculating you having her do that, and I know that got to you when she called.
Yeah. So I got up early this morning, and Bart and I went out to the hardware store. Now, you know, she has all of the people where we live and all the stores, she has all of them convinced that everything that they hear on the radio is absolutely 100% true.
Oh, God.
That she runs the roost and that I'm simply a participant.
Yeah, I know that's not true.
Go into the... thank you. Thank you. Don't forget, I'm the king.
You're the king of the castle.
King of the castle.
That's right.
She's my queen.
On the air, you do. You
He's
always,
my prince.
You always told me that you make it sound on the air like she runs things, but off air, you say to me that you run the entire show.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah,
right.
It's just a bit I'm doing here.
That's right.
So Bart and I this morning go to the hardware store because we need another hammer. We only have two hammers, and there's going to be three of us out there working on it.
Right.
So we go into the hardware store, and we go in, and I'm thinking, man, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, you got that hardware store smell.
Right.
Bart and I on there very early this morning, talking to the guy, the kindly old gentleman behind the counter. We come up, we got our two hammers, we set them down, and he says, oh, does the boss lady know that you guys are buying hammers today?
Oh, God.
I swear to God.
Wow.
Yeah, and I said, no.
The boss lady, like your two little kids that are going off to hammer things that you're not supposed to.
Absolutely. I said, now listen, the boss lady endorses this idea. So we got the hammers. We got back home, we got in the backyard, and I mean to tell you, not one, not two, not three, four,
five walls. This thing has five walls.
Is that something that's unique, or is it a design flaw?
It's not a design flaw.
Right.
Because of the crotch of the tree, because the branches spread in such a way.
Sure.
You're going to have four walls, but we have five walls.
Not all the walls are uniform size.
Oh, right? No, none of them are. You know, it looks like Pee-wee's Playhouse, or what does it look like right now?
Sure, but I guess you had to do some measuring.
No, I left all of that to Mon Capitaine.
Okay.
And she was, here was her job. She, of course, is doing the tough stuff.
Right.
She would get out the tape measure and go to the big beams to cut the pieces of wood that we need to make really the frames for the walls.
Yeah, gotcha.
Okay? So she'd be there, and she's got that big saw, that big chainsaw.
Circular saw.
Yes.
Right.
And she is cutting the boards, and then it would be my job once the boards are cut. What are you laughing at?
You called it a chainsaw. It was using a chainsaw to cut the boards.
No, it was a circular saw.
That's
but the type of saw in the movie Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
When Albert Brooks goes to cut a piece of wood, and he actually cuts the table in half.
Right.
That's what she's using. One of those big jobbers. Okay. So she's cutting those boards,
right?
And then she brings them to me, and it's my job then to slap them all together,
hammer them to the frame,
right? Hammer them and make a big square with them,
right?
Now keep in mind that if I was left to my own devices,
are you hammering plywood at this time, or are you simply putting the frame together?
Putting the frame together.
Putting the frame together.
We haven't even gotten to the plywood yet.
Okay,
we're just putting the frames together.
All right, so she's telling you where to hammer the boards.
Right. Now, again, if it was me, I'd be out there with a staple gun, maybe some duct tape. You know, it would be a real half-assed effort.
Sure.
But because, you know, it is Bart, and I do want to do a good job,
mm-hmm.
So I'm doing this, and I'm thinking, hey, this is okay.
Yeah.
And you know, compared to Bart, I'm doing a yeoman's job of knocking these nails into this wood, right?
Well, that would naturally follow, being that you're twice his size.
Right, right. But I found that, hold on, stay with me here. I found that I'm into this, and I'm really like, hey, I could do this all day. Well, I found that for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, ouch.
Yeah, ow. And I thought my arm, my right arm especially, if you know what I mean, was in great shape. But
new respect for carpentry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm having to, rest and everything. You know, and of course, she's over there just going, brrr. She goes, what are you doing? I go, resting. I'm resting my right arm.
My arm is just jello right now.
So really, this is real work. So we made the frame. We made the part for the walls. Mm-hmm. Then we hike it through the woods. Get it up to the treehouse. I'm up in the treehouse. They hand it to me. I pull it up. Then it's my job to actually make it attached to the floor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which is already there. What I'm doing is attaching the frames, which will be the walls, through the floor.
So you put the bottom 2x4, you hammer that into the floor.
Right.
Right.
We only had a slight problem. We had one meltdown today.
Yeah.
And it was rough because it was right there in front of Bart.
Right.
Mm. When I'm up in the treehouse, and I'm happily just hammering away. Like, you know, there I am. Just hammering my brains out.
Right,
there.
Right.
And she comes up, and she says, you should really anchor that to the tree.
The wall.
Right.
Yeah, the wall.
For more support.
Uh-huh.
For more support. And I said, okay. And at this point, I was being playful still. I said, hey, okay, Mon Capitaine.
Yeah.
And I went up to the board that was up against the tree, and I yanked on one side, and she said, no, 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 the other side. And I said, what do you mean? And at this point, everything changed.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, she became the foreman, and I was the stupid guy up on the girder, like the guy in the Crazy Glue commercial, the guy who...
She was belittling you in front of your boy.
The guy who tapes his hat, his helmet. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who are you again?
I'm Frida's boss.
Who's Frida?
My secretary.
Oh, I wish. So, I say, listen, I don't understand. What do you want me to do? I'm trying to do what you want me to do up here. And then she gets into the whole thing. She says, I only want this to be safe in case Bart and his friends roughhouse up here.
Right.
If you don't want it to be safe. I said, listen, I want it to be safe.
Sure.
She says, then listen to me, and I want you to understand, I'm going to explain why it is that you want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I refused to participate.
Because she was talking down to you.
Well, no, actually, I was looking down at her. She was talking down to me, but I was way up in the
street. Gotcha, I understand. I understand that's where you're coming from.
And also part of it is,
I understand it's just a treehouse.
Yes.
And I'm so stupid, I could not write the I couldn't make the design for a treehouse with
right.
the dimensions and everything. I really don't care the mechanics, the engineering of this.
Good.
All I said to her was, you just tell me
right.
where to hammer.
Right.
I'm like your stupid slave labor here.
Sure.
She would not get into this. She said, no, I want you to understand why it is that you must do this.
Oh, I think that's where she made her fatal
yeah.
mistake.
And I said, I really don't care.
That's like asking you to get a new piece of audio equipment out of the box and not, you know, and read the instructions.
Right. I'm type yeah. A. I can't help it.
Sure.
So she says, well, that's fine. It just won't be safe. Then Bart goes, oh, I want my treehouse to be safe.
Mommy, sure. Daddy, make my treehouse safe.
Good for him.
You know, and he looks up at me like, come on, Dad, how come you don't want it to be safe? And now I'm looking down at him. Son, and incidentally, what a rush that is, looking down on them all the time. I really enjoy being up on the elevated perch.
It's like you're building a real house.
Yeah. I say, listen, I want this to be safe.
So you were anchoring the wall into the wrong part of the tree.
Yes. And then she told me to fix it, and mm-hmm. when I went to fix it, I pulled the wrong board out.
Oh, right.
I pulled the nails out with the wrong board, yeah. and she said, no. The other one, and it's at that point that I look around, and it's like I am just totally lost, and I'm lucky I don't lose my balance and fall out of the tree at this point.
On your head.
Because all the blood has rushed to my head, and it's hot, and it's sticky, and it's everything that I yeah. hate. I'm out there having to really work.
Yeah. And it was a labor of love up until
yes.
that very moment.
But we pulled it together.
Good.
We pulled it together. We did that thing that Frida and I do. Now, after we will have been married 15 years next month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Keep congratulating me all the time on that.
You know I always do.
Because we've got it down to a science. When it really gets really hot and heavy.
Right.
She just walks away now.
That's the best way to do it.
She will just turn and walk away like a song says.
That's a very smart way. I think most counseling books tell you that's the way to do it.
You know her. She's read them all.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that Dr. Joyce Brothers says, that's what we do.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just going to it's a downward spiral.
Sure.
And you're going to, you know, go into the gates of hell.
She turns and she walks away, and now it's just me and Bart
mm-hmm.
back up in the treehouse.
Right.
And this is when I try to really score some points. I say, you know, Barty, that's just how it is with women. I swear to God, I say, someday, you know, you're going to be building a treehouse for Bart Jr. And your wife's going to be out there, and oh, she's going to get that tone in her voice that Mommy gets in her voice. You'll be calling me. You'll be calling me. And you know what? I'll be there for you.
I can't, you know, being a guy myself, I think you gave the boy the right advice.
But see, he's still brainwashed by her.
Right.
Because I'm laying this on him, and I'm thinking, this is really great. And he says, but Dad, you weren't listening when she was talking.
Oh, dear.
He says, Dad, she was trying to tell you. I said, listen, Bart. I said, Bart, I don't care how this thing is made. I mean, I care how it's made. I care how it's made because I want the quality to be right. But I don't have to...
You didn't say that to him.
Yes, I did.
You didn't say, I don't care how it's made.
He understood what I meant.
Right, okay.
I don't care about the design of it. I said, when I go to buy a car,
right.
I don't have to know how the carburetor works. I don't have to know how the exhaust system works.
Right.
I just want to get in it, and I want to drive, and I want to go. I said, that's all I want to do. Want to come here, want to build this for you.
Yeah.
And he says, but Dad didn't listen to her. You didn't listen to her. She's just trying. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking him right in the face. I said, but Bart. And he says, Dad, you're just like me. I swear to God, that he says, Dad, you're just like me.
Oh, my God.
So she says that to me all the time, too.
He's growing up. Wow.
All the time.
Wow.
Yeah. So
let me now call and see how the bonding went this morning.
Is that how it ended, with her walking away?
No, she came back.
Came back good, yeah.
She came back a couple of minutes later, and we had the same talk we always have.
Good.
Yeah. Every time this happens. Every time my masculinity is challenged in the least way.
Yeah, and that's when it's challenged, that's when you stop listening.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You can focus in if you're in a good mood. And
positively. Well, hello.
Well, hi, baby.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm sweaty and sawdusty.
All right. How's that going?
Well, we're getting some walls up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was describing today what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure you described it from a equal point of view.
No, I think I did.
He probably painted a very accurate picture of what went on.
Yeah.
No, now, Buzz, you tell her because she won't believe
Buzz.
Me.
it sounded fair to me. I mean, you know, he was equally critical of himself, so sounded well balanced.
Tell her what I said.
Tell her what I said and see if you don't agree to this.
Normally, for our listening audience, I would normally explain to somebody what's going on here, but I can't because it's Frida. Frida does not believe me, just like she doesn't believe her husband. Go ahead.
Well, Don was talking about the whole project, but he said at one point it was his job to anchor one of the wall frames to the tree, and that he was anchoring to the wrong part of the tree.
Remember that?
I remember many such instances.
No, the big one. The big one. And you told him not to do that, and you tried to explain to him why that wasn't a good idea, but he didn't want to hear why.
He's not a good follower.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's exactly what I was saying.
That's it.
Right. And there had been a number of instances through the morning when I tried to tell him something. But, you know, you guys know that look he gets in his eyes when his eyes are darting around and he doesn't want to hear it. You're taking too long to give the explanation.
Oh,
But you think the information's important, so you don't know what to do, and you kind of just give up and wander away, and then you come back and it's not done right.
Yeah, Buzz and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Shut up, everybody. Is it everybody against me day?
No.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But I'm always with you, and that's why she doesn't believe me anymore.
I know.
I'm
just kidding.
One time I trust your opinion, because I know you come up against this brick wall often, too.
Why? He's never made a treehouse with me before. And he never will.
You have a very low tolerance for explanations. I think we can all agree on that.
That's reasonably accurate, but I will tell you that I think he was painting a very balanced picture of what went on today.
I told you, I really didn't care.
Very self-deprecating today.
About the design of this and why this has to be nailed here. I told you, I'm just like your idiot slave labor. You just tell me where to hammer and I'll hammer.
Yeah, but sweetie and I admire that about you, as my idiot slave.
Thank
member,
you.
You're an idiot that doesn't like to hear with the directions.
Well, now, just sometimes from you.
Well, yeah, I know you have, and I'm sure if it was Master Carpenter out there, you know, or somebody you respect, or it wasn't a male-female thing, it wouldn't be a problem at all for you to
listen. You know, I got to tell you something. This is the same reason why I cannot give my wife any advice out on the golf course.
No.
It's the same, and she can't give me any advice on it. This is it. I mean, husbands and wives, it's very difficult to take direction, you know, either way from husbands and wives.
Not to mention this is all playing out in front of a lad,
you know,
who's already, you know, wondering if daddy's going to go in now and bake some cookies and make a meatloaf and get the laundry in the...
I'm not at all upset that I'm a horrible cook, that I left the stove on last night. What did I make last night? Chicken or something?
No, it was two nights ago. I come down in the morning to let the dog out before Kurt comes over to work out. And I go, what is that smell? And I go into the kitchen. It's like 1,000 degrees. The oven had been on 475.
Oh, God.
All night long.
You're lucky the house didn't burn.
Yeah. All night long.
See, and I don't take that as a slight to my femininity. And I was telling you guys, when I was a little girl, I only liked dolls so I could build them furniture.
Oh, I had to hear this story today. Yeah. We're sitting up in the treehouse, the three of us, and she says, you know, even when I was a girl, when I had trolls, I liked to build houses for my trolls.
I built furniture.
Yeah, Bart says, Dad, you have trolls? Yeah, you know, I combed their hair. I put them in all kinds of crazy positions.
They put makeup on them.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's going okay then, huh?
Yeah, it's going fine.
All right, good.
All right.
All right, well, listen, as I said today, don't do everything because I want to be there for the crowning touches, the big finishing touches.
You know, and I wish you were here for your, because we had some nice moments. I was complimenting you on your strengths since you've been working out and being able to test those walls up and how a big help you are, you know.
I like that. Let me just say, I dig that.
Yeah.
I dig being sucked up to like that.
Sure.
I hardly ever hear that, and I did like that very much today.
So we're missing you now because we're trying to heft these huge walls, and we need your strong, muscly biceps.
Yeah, listen to that. See, huh? Yeah. That's right.
That's
all
terrific.
Right, Poopa.
That's my wife. That's my wife with the trophies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, pick up Chinese tonight, will you? We're working hard. I got my goggles on and everything.
Okay, all right.
All right, Boo-Boo.
Listen, don't emasculate me in front of the boy, though.
Well, you effeminate me in front of the boy.
All right, you know, just tell him I'm here working hard while you're out there making the treehouse.
You know, you're working hard, punching those buttons, and, you know, working your little fingers to the bone.
All right. I love you, sweetie.
Bye, sweetie.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
So
it sounds like it's going great.
Yeah. So listen, after all this procrastinating,
right?
Procrastinating is when you
put off till tomorrow,
and the other one is when
prognosticating
you,
is when you
predict the future.
There
right.
You go,
well,
exactly.
Listen, after 2 years of waiting,
right,
putting it off,
yes,
I'm finding that if I ever had ever really just gotten off my butt,
yeah,
and started to do it. You build a treehouse like in 2 days. We're going to have this thing done tomorrow.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
You
going to
have any benches in it or anything like that?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Now, if I have my way, of course, it'll have a refrigerator. It'll have a little TV up there.
Cable.
Sure. Because I see it, maybe a pool table. I see it as Daddy's little getaway shack also every once in a while. When things get a little too H-O-T in the house.
Right.
Yeah, I just go to the backyard and climb up the tree.
Yeah, you can run a little trench out to it and run some AC up there.
Spend some quality time. AC, yeah. Maybe get a dish.
Yeah.
Get a nice satellite dish for that.
Absolutely.
Really do it right.
Imagine having a light switch on there. You get up in the treehouse and you turn on the light. You can read up there.
Yeah, like that'll happen. Like that. It'll be like every other little kid thing. I probably won't go in there because it'll smell like little kid.
Now, do you have the little 2x4 steps, the little ladder steps that are attached to the tree?
Got that done and did that job myself.
Very cool.
Wow. Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really am.
That was my morning. You have to pardon me. I wanted to look down to make sure that I had this right here. The Kathy Lee story from yesterday.
Wow. We had an awful lot of fun with that story yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, we never repeat anything on the show. We never play a tape of something we have done previously. However, I think that we're just going to have to recreate this. We're just going to have to share this with you. If you weren't with us for the last hour yesterday,
right,
a fantastic article in the National Enquirer about Kathy Lee and Frank Gifford and their life in bed.
Yeah, the love life of Kathy Lee and Frank and some sordid details.
And the trophies, and you'll know what we're talking about in just a moment.
Sure.
So we'll start with that. Then we've got a whole bunch of stuff. We have a prison mailbag today on the program.
Right.
We have a bunch of correspondence from people around America. Well, as a matter of fact, we'll spend a whole segment just getting to our mail. We'll have the goal guy, Andres Cantor.
Go!
Have him on in a few, and also today the Charlie interview.
All right.
On the program, so we got a ton of stuff. As always, we're very glad that you are with us. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Radio God, Don and Mike. Oh, you know the old Don and Mike. It's the cotton picking Don and Mike show.
You know what? I spoke out of turn there a second ago. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, have always been very supportive of my radio career. Certainly more supportive than my regular parents.
Sure.
So I didn't mean anything there. If they're listening down in the big OC today,
they're good friends of the show.
I'm
sure they know.
They're very nice. You know, I don't know why I am so excited about this. We're on certainly in a lot more cities with a lot more people than this sleepy little village of Ocean City.
You've been going there your whole life. I understand why you're excited about it.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We got a 17.3.
There you go.
We got a 17.3.
What took you so long?
Yeah, really. Ain't that silly? Jesus, that is funny.
That is terrific.
I feel like Rudy. Jesus.
Our thanks to everybody down in Ocean City for listening to the show.
Well, everybody that listens everywhere. Because as I mentioned, the ratings have been very good for the program. Not only now, but the whole time we've been on the air. But that's nice.
And I understand exactly why. And you should be excited about that.
Well, it's not my hometown. But,
right,
you know, anytime we have a vacation, that's the only place we go. Because that's where my wife's family lives.
Right.
You know, and I'm always down there trying to act like Mr. Big Shot.
Sure.
You know, and I know that in the back of their minds, they were all saying, well, sure, you're Mr. Big Shot, but can you make it in Ocean City?
That's right. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Absolutely. So listen, thanks for listening. Put those silly ratings away, because I want to read you the Kathy Lee stuff here. And then a ton of great new stuff on the program today. Actually, we even have something to freshen up the Kathy Lee story that we read yesterday. We'll
Good.
Be rereading for you now. It's an article with Kathy Lee Gifford. Before we get to the thing of the Enquirer,
yeah,
something new with Kathy Lee, an article in Guideposts Magazine.
Guideposts? What is that magazine?
That is a religious magazine.
Ah, wonderful.
Listen to this. She brightens the lives of millions each weekday morning. Now she answers the question everyone keeps asking, where do you get your energy? By Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, yeah, that's the question everybody asks about Kathy Lee.
Well, they're not asking about her trophies.
That's right, or the big ace.
Frank isn't telling her to make that big ace a little smaller.
Come on, Kathy, make that big ace a little bit smaller, will you, please?
Let's see the trophies. See the trophies.
Daddy wants to see the trophies.
Our neighbors in Connecticut must think we're a bunch of nuts. This is Kathy Lee speaking now. In the morning, when 2-year-old Cassidy comes up to me saying, Hosanna, Mommy, Hosanna, I say, okay. And we traipse onto our deck where we march around singing, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna, Hosanna." I'm sure that people all the way in New Jersey can hear us. But I don't care what they think. I believe worship should be fun and exciting so children can embrace it. After all, David leaped and danced before the Lord with all his might. We Christians don't do that enough. Often we're terrified to think about what somebody's going to say, but if you love the Lord, you should show it.
Amen.
So that is how she shows it. She gets out every morning with the kids and sings her Hosanna song.
That's, or at least that's what she's telling this this magazine.
Yeah. One of the lowest points in my life was when I went to Hollywood in the 70s.
Seth frankly thinks she's singing, "Nanny! Oh, Nanny, come on, take care of the kids."
Trying to carve out a career for myself. One gloomy afternoon, sitting in my apartment after many rejections, I realized I was down to my last few dollars. And this is why nothing would make me think that there's not a God, okay? Mm-hmm. As you know, I go, seriously, I go to church all the time. I'm a totally different person in church. I really believe in God, in
right.
Jesus, and everything that goes with. However, Kathy Lee says now, I realized I was down to my last few dollars. Lord, if I don't get a job by this time next week, I'll go to Maryland and be a florist or an interior designer. That week, I was offered parts in 5 commercials. I took that flurry of activity as my answer. Now, I got to think. See, that's where the lines got crossed.
Right.
That's where our old friend Lucifer picked up the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
You got to know.
Mm-hmm.
The Jesus that I know
right.
is a loving Jesus.
Yes.
And would never subject the American people to this woman every day on our television.
So you think it really, she thinks it's the man upstairs when it's really the man downstairs.
If it had come through to Jesus.
Yes.
Let's say that Jesus is sitting at his desk.
Mm-hmm.
He's just doing his work. He's reading the newspaper.
He's got to take into account the big picture here.
Right. He's got a lot of things going on at
once. Yeah, making more people happy than just Kathy Lee.
So the request comes over. Jesus, got a request. Kathy Lee Gifford is down to her last few dollars. If she doesn't get a job, she has to go back to Maryland to be an interior designer.
I think that's appropriate. Send her back to Maryland.
But you know what really happened? The call's being put through to our Lord, and all of a sudden...
Satan gets a hold of that call.
Yes, it's me, Jesus. How you doing, baby?
Satan pretending to be the Lord.
That's right. Then he fesses up once you get the big TV show with Regis.
You're mine now.
Sign here.
Show me the trophies. And for God's sakes, do something about that ass. It's gigantic. It's as big as the state of Rhode Island.
Frank wants you to trim it.
Frank says, lose the ass, baby.
You think Frank had hooked up with Satan, or do you think that...
No, Frank had too much natural talent as a football player.
Yeah.
See, everything, he got that from the Lord.
Yeah. So anyway, she says, that's why I jump in. That's why I jump in wholeheartedly.
Right.
To join Cassidy and her 5-year-old brother, Cody, when we march around on the deck dancing and doing our hosannas. They are learning from their earliest days that God loves them and has a plan for their lives.
All right.
So, having read that,
yes.
Right. Now let's get to the other story about her.
A story in another fine publication.
The National Enquirer.
The Enquirer knows.
Also a religious magazine.
Kathy Lee marriage shocker.
For a lot of those people that go through those checkout aisles, Buzz, it certainly is a religious experience.
I believe. Frank's an animal. He's 65, but he's not ready to retire from my bed. Those are the shockingly candid words of Kathy Mee Gifford, who confided to friends that her sex life has been kicked into overdrive, surprisingly by her recent sweatshop scandal.
Yeah.
The Enquirer, God bless the Enquirer, presents the first intimate look behind the scenes at Kathy Mee's high-profile marriage to Frank Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
That also reveals the 42-year-old TV hostess desperately wants cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
While Frank is dead set against it.
Mm-hmm.
Frank is obsessed with Kathy Lee's figure. It constantly badgers her to keep slim and trim. The couple are insanely jealous of each other. And Frank shows up at Live with Regis and Kathy when she's planning to interview a hunky guest.
Sure.
And although Frank is 65, he and Kathy both want another child.
Uh-huh.
And plan to adopt.
All right.
Okay, now, here's the good stuff about Kathy Lee.
Hey, nobody, you're going to love this, folks.
Let me get my tapes ready here.
Why don't they like me?
Calm down, Kathy Lee.
That, of course, is the nanny, but for our purposes, she works at the Kathy Lee.
Well, we kind of like to think that Kathy Lee sounds like the nanny when she's in private.
Mm-hmm. Fearful of taunts against her.
Why don't they like me?
I want it. I need it. I gotta have it.
Yeah, that's Kathy Lee at home.
How can you not be into that nanny? She is. I'm serious. She is really, really funny, that Fran Drescher.
She's and she's good to look at, too, Don.
No, she is. She's easy on the eyes.
I know she is.
Just turn down the volume.
Now, yeah. Were you talking to me about how can I not be into her?
Yeah.
I watch her.
Oh, which one? Oh, it's you that really... Yeah, but no, but you don't like her much either, do you?
I watch the nanny. I've logged like an entire half hour with the nanny before.
Well, then you're not...
I'm off the hook on the nanny question. I just don't...
You're not a real nanny fanatic, then.
No, I do not. I do not log entire shows on a regular basis.
You're not going to Nanny Mania, then?
No, I will not go to Nanny... No, I'm going, but I might next year go to Nanny Palooza.
Why don't they like me?
You're the one, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the voice. I can't appreciate her good looks because I'm squinting from her voice.
Do you think that's a real voice? Do you think when she gets home that she...
That's why I did it on the show. Are you kidding me? Oh, come on. Why? Why? I want to be Kathy Lee. All right. Oh. Remember when I did that?
Now I remember.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
Hi,
Buzz.
Hi.
It was one of you guys didn't like the nanny. It was him.
I actually did the nanny on this program.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to nanny stock with me, right?
Yeah, I'm going to nanny. I'm really looking for... We're going to have a nanny nanny. Just going back to hoot nanny.
Okay. Kathy Lee. Back to Kathy Lee. Kathy Lee is fearful of taunts against her and her children, so she's been spending much of her time holed up at her Connecticut mansion since the scandal erupted. Kathy Lee came into her dressing room the other day, and the makeup person told her she looked tired. You'd be tired, too, if you were up making love all night, Kathy Lee said.
Oh!
Frank is an animal. But while the couple's sex life is red hot, they both are getting hot under the collar in fights over Kathy Lee's determination to have plastic surgery.
Oh, I don't want you to do that, Kathy.
She wants a tummy tuck and lifts to her breasts and her face. But Frank doesn't want her to have plastic surgery. Now, Kathy Lee apparently wrote in her book, quote, she used to have such nice, perky breasts until Cody was born. They stood up and saluted and sang the Star Spangled Banner.
Howdy, boys!
Now they're basically humming, Go Down, Moses. What does that mean?
It's another one of her spiritual songs, yeah. I think. I think that's another one of her gospel songs.
She and Cody sang that on the deck.
Go Down, Moses. Is that really what it says in the article?
Yeah.
It's strange.
Go Down, Moses.
There you go. I don't know. I've never heard the song myself.
Nor have I.
There you go.
What you see is what you get. Go Down, Moses. Go Down, Moses.
Kathy, no plastic surgery for you. Please.
Watch him pop the Red Sea. You'll love it. And Go Down, Moses.
And a double feature, bedroom stewardesses and high-flying stewardesses. Lovely stewardesses.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. She disclosed that she used to have nice perky breasts before Cody was born, stood up and saluted, but my husband doesn't want me to have them surgically altered. Frank says, quote, are you crazy? Those are your trophies.
Trophies? Yeah, Frank calls them the trophies. Kathy, can I see the trophies again? Daddy wants to see the trophies. And you did the mental picture of him yesterday with his leather helmet.
Yeah.
Just sitting there completely naked.
He's naked. Sitting up like a Giants beach towel, New York Giants beach towel, with his leather helmet on. And she comes in and he goes, trophy time.
Daddy wants to see the trophies before bedtime.
The kids are out knocking on the door. What do you tell Mommy, Daddy? We're cleaning the trophies.
237, hi. Yeah, all right.
Polishing the trophies. The trophies. Frank said, are you crazy? Those are your trophies.
Those are your trophies, Kathy.
In the end, Kathy Lee will have to go off and have the work done. Oh, we have somebody on the phone who can sing Go Down, Moses.
Okay.
All right. That would be a nice way to ease the guilt about those jokes that we were all making in our heads, and
yes,
we know that we were all making those jokes.
Now we can cleanse ourselves.
Nobody wants to say it, but I will.
That's
we were
right.
All thinking those thoughts.
Yes, we were. Had all sorts of terrible little thoughts that we didn't share.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing great. Hi, who's this?
This is Doug.
Hi, Doug. Can you sing Go Down, Moses?
I can sing enough of it that you'll remember it.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go.
Oh, let my people go. That's what it is?
That's it.
All right.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Remember those, the Bangles? Yeah.
The Bangles.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the call.
Bye.
That's what Kathy Lee's breasts are singing now.
We're down here and we need to be surgically enhanced, but Frank says no. So we're pointing at the floor.
Frank says, those are your trophies. Those are your trophies. I'm doing like a cat's thing now. Frank says, those are your trophies. Those are your trophies.
We're Kathy Lee's breasts. We got no place to go but down to the floor.
Those are your trophies. Those are your trophies. Those are your trophies.
It's another musical.
Listen, let's get to the rest of this. We can do this whole thing in song and dance also.
Sure.
We'll come right back. We haven't even gotten to the part of the article where Frank talks about Kathy's ass. We will look her bottom, her buttocks. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
So much of the way that I look, he won't let me have plastic surgery, says Kathy and me.
Right.
But Frank does care how she looks. He's so turned off by flab-on women that Kathy Lee has to work her tail off trying to keep trim. She watches everything she eats for fear of getting fat.
Better hit that Stairmaster, honey.
She told me, Frank hates fat women. So Frank does not dig fat chicks.
That's right.
He watches my weight. Oh, speaking of, Kathleen has called, and she would like us to try to get her another date.
Well, I'm glad. I was worried about how it ended with Kathleen the other day, and I certainly hope that she comes around a little bit.
She called right at the top of the show and told Rob she'd be willing to take our calls at any point during the show today.
Excelente.
Okay, so let me see. He watches my weight more than I do. He'll walk by and pat me on the behind and say, you're getting a little broad, honey.
Oh, Kathy, look at that. Look at that ace.
That big ace.
Get that big ace down to size.
Hey, Kathy, that is a huge ace you got there, honey.
My God, Kathy.
Now, show me the trophies.
Daddy wants to see the trophies, but there's no way he can get a good eyeball on them if you get that big ace in the way.
Can you imagine that?
God, it's huge, Kathy.
She takes it. I mean, now you know, I go back and forth when I think about this. I think on one hand, well, she deserves it. But on the other hand, you know, even if she's Kathy Lee, she doesn't deserve to be walking by having pat her on the ass and go, "Gay, getting a little broad there, honey."
Well, you know, in the Inquirer article, you have to ferret out the truisms.
G-O-S-P-E-L, Mike. Gospel.
Well, you know, in some of those, they're actually quoting from her book. Now, I believe the trophies, that's a direct quote from her book, is it not?
Yes.
And now with the, but you know, who was the Inquirer reporter that was under the porch when he happened to say, "You're getting a little broad, Kathy"?
Let me see, who said that? Those are quotes.
Really?
Those are,
Oh, well.
Her friend. That's it. Her friend is the one who's giving the quote. That's what it says.
Her friend. Her buddy.
Despite her busy professional life, Kathy Mee goes through a grueling workout schedule to keep off the flab, said her friend.
Yeah.
She obsesses over her thighs. She told me everything I eat goes directly to my thighs. And don't think Frank doesn't let me know it.
God, look at those thighs, Kathy.
God, the one ace on you. Wouldn't it be great if he really did talk like that around the house?
Yeah, with a big New York accent.
Kathy Lee, that ace. He's got to come down to size.
This is naked, like he said, isn't he? Naked, wearing his leather football helmet, the kind you can fold up and put in your pocket when you're done wearing it.
Just judging the size of it.
Show Daddy the ace.
Where's them trophies?
Hey.
Are you still outside on the deck singing that Hosanna with the kids? Come here, show me the trophies.
Daddy's going to be excited tonight. He's going to take the leather helmet off.
Men flock to Kathy Lee and women flock to Frank. Do you think that's true?
Yep.
And that can make things hard on any marriage.
I believe that, you know, Frank Gifford still has that football player appeal.
They are not only insanely in love, they're also insanely jealous of each other. Kathy Lee hates any reference to Frank's former wives.
Astrid.
Yes, especially his second wife, Astrid, who publicly charged that Kathy Lee had stolen Frank from her. It's even harder on Frank. Sometimes she has a hunky actor on her show, and she and the guy are flirting a little. Frank gets uncomfortable watching at home and calls her on some pretext or another. Isn't that great? They go to commercials. Kathy Lee.
Hi, Kathy. It's Frank. I was calling to find out if... how are you? You like that guest you have on? You're being really friendly with Lou Diamond Phillips.
Did I see your hand on his knee?
Why did you touch Kathy? Why did you and your big...
touch Lou Diamond Phillips' knee.
Maybe he just sometimes he calls her.
Hey, Kathy. You said your ass looks huge on television today.
Kathy, you have a phone call. It's Frank.
Hey, Kathy, you and I know Jimmy Smits doesn't want to look at your big ass. Now, you knocking off right now. I'm calling Lee Merriweather. You know, she wants me. You know who's got a nice ass? It's Phyllis George. Man, that Phyllis George got an ass that will not quit.
Frank, I'm on the air. Leave me alone. Please.
Don't touch him. Don't touch him.
Hey, just so you know, you stay away from that Jimmy Smits. As Martha Stewart said, I got a good butt. Another one of our rich Connecticut neighbors.
It's harder on Frank. Frank gets uncomfortable watching it on the calls. Recently, a sexy singer who had dated Kathy and me appeared on the show.
Perry Como.
Frank insisted on coming to the show to keep an eye on her.
All right, you keep your hands off her, Perry.
He sat in her dressing room during the whole show, watched as she and the singer said goodbye afterwards.
It was Mel Torme.
Frank told me,
"Hey, it's me. I'm in the green room. Did I see you touch Mel Torme? Listen, you bitch.
As old as he is, he doesn't want to play around with that giant ace.
Shouldn't you be on the Stairmaster right now?
You're getting a little broad there, Kathy.
Hey, and don't forget I want you to armor all my football helmet.
The leather one in a living room, and then she'll pop up the trophies later on at night. Oh, if only it was true.
Oh, who knows?
Man, you never know. That's the inquiry. That, you know, they have to actually be careful. There's certain level limits that they can't go to.
And here's the last thing about the being jealous. Mm-hmm. So he sat in her dressing room during the whole show and watched as she and the singer, Jerry Vale, whoever it was, said goodbye.
Jerry Vale.
Frank told me, Kathy Lee is taken. And I want to make sure the punk knew it.
Oh!
Kathy Lee and Frank are planning to adopt a third baby. And Frank has been her rock throughout this ordeal, and that's brought them closer together than ever. Blah, blah, blah. But
this is all according to the friend.
Yeah, the National Enquirer and the friend, the great source, the unknown source, yeah. The friend.
Yeah, it was sitting on Kathy Lee's porch, and Frank just patted her and said, "You're getting a little broad."
Right when she was singing the Hosanna song with her kids. All right, that is the story from yesterday.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, I would love to have a little private camera there just to see what goes on in that house.
Hey, Kathy Lee. Did I see you wink at Jeff Goldblum?
No, Frank, I didn't. Frank, I'm on the air.
Who's got the biggest ass in the world? Who's got it? Say it now. Who's got the big ass?
I do. Leave me alone, Frank. I do.
All right, if only it were true.
That's right.
If only it were true. We got a break. Listen, more of this side-splitting material.
Sure.
In our next break, I think we'll talk about the Olympics next. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
Preferably in a residential area.
And now, a very special episode of the Don and Mike Show.
Coast to coast, nationwide, here's a channel check. Thank you for listening in Worcester, Massachusetts on 98.9 WXXWFM in Eufrida, Washington, KULE. And thank you for listening in St. Louis on the Big 550, KSD. All right, now, but don't there's somebody on the line who thinks they're calling.
Hello?
Hello, Soft Rock.
Hello?
Soft Rock.
Hello? I don't hear anything.
Hello, Soft Rock.
Hi. I'd like to make a dedication, please.
Yeah, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to record these in advance, though.
Okay.
Would that be okay? Could I ask you a little something for our love songs segment here?
Yes.
What's your name?
My name's Antilla.
Impilla.
Impilla?
Yes, Antilla.
Impilla, we trust.
Impilla?
Huh?
And where are you calling from, Impilla?
I'm from Burke.
And what song would you like to dedicate?
I'd like to hear Celine Dion's new one.
Oh, she's super, isn't she?
Yes.
I love Celine Dion. She's just good people.
All right, I'm going to record something right now, okay?
Okay.
All right. Test 1, 2.
You're on. You're rolling.
Okay, great. I'd like to make a dedication.
Hold on.
Hold on. You drive. Let him drive the car.
He was saying you're rolling to me.
Okay, take 2. You're rolling.
Okay.
I hate
now
talking.
Hold on. You're talking in the middle of it again.
God, our listeners are so freaking stupid. I swear to God, I don't know how long I can continue with this pablum.
Well, there's another radio station in town that just made a friend.
Okay, onto the program. It's too bad you didn't stay on the line a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Now, about the Olympics. Oh, we got a lot of stuff to get through. We have the guy who's going to scream goal for us in a couple of seconds. Today we want to, if we have time, get to that the shopping mall, the drugstore, the grocery store name game where you get the wacky names changed on cell phones so we can hear them, and also the Charlie interview. A lot of stuff on today's program, and because everybody's clamoring for more airtime for the lovable duo of Grossman and Murphy.
Yeah, everybody wants to hear them.
Today we have a videotape. I don't know if I have time to get to it today, of Dennis Murphy's most excellent trip to Sioux City, Idaho.
Excellent.
Iowa. Sioux City, Iowa.
Iowa.
Way. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And plus, Carl Grossman wants to come down at some point to play the guitar for us.
Oh, yeah. So he's going to do some kind of fugue.
Oh, and remind me, please. I've got a whole big edition of prisoner mailbag, too. I get all kinds of mail from convicts these days.
That goes in cycles. Mm-hmm. We've actually gotten a lot of mail from prisoners of late.
But now, about the Olympics. Let's start here. Now, we had a brief discussion about this before we went on the network. I will give you my thoughts. I will crystallize my thoughts on yesterday's Olympics, okay? Because I've now gotten into this.
I'm glad you have, because I think most of the country is into the Olympics.
Yeah, you know what it is? I guess it is the fact that basically we all love America.
Right.
And one thing about America, if we do good at something,
yeah,
everybody jumps on that bandwagon.
Oh, sure. America loves a winner. It's the truest thing in the world.
You know what? I've read some stuff like saying that the fans down in Atlanta are too much, that they're going too crazy. No, no, no. This is what America's all about. What America's all about is getting the other nations in the world here in our country.
So we can beat them.
Yeah, and we beat them. We beat them bad.
Yeah, we beat them, especially in swimming. We are really cleaning up.
Now, I watched this. What do I talk about first, the swimmers or the pixies? I'll talk about the swimmers first.
Swimmers, were you going to say the swimmers or the pixies?
Yeah, the swimmers or the pixies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about the swimmers. I watched the swimmers. I love the swimmers. I love the four guys.
I think Rouse, that guy that won the backstroke, I think he's from very close to where our station is in Fredericksburg, Virginia. That's what some people have told me.
I watched the four guys that did they do one up and one back, and
that's
then they touch off.
Freestyle relay.
Right. These four guys, fantastic. Like watching them. The last guy is the guy who was way far behind. They had the Russian guy. Now, listen, I'm serious about this.
You're serious? Yes, I know. I know you are.
You
mentioned it earlier. It just makes me chuckle a little bit.
I am all American. I would never turn in the Americans.
Right.
However.
You were tempted.
However, yeah, as I mentioned, I didn't call the local station.
The local affiliate to completely upset the apple cart.
To alert them. But last night, as they were starting the fourth leg, our guy left before the other guy touched the wall.
Uh-huh. Well, you think he did.
The fourth guy left just a scotch early.
Well, see, what I was telling you was that they have very sophisticated electronic monitoring.
And I told you.
As well as judges for each lane that are watching him.
Uh-huh. Here's the lasers right here.
And you got the lasers in your head.
Right between my ears.
I'm aware of this.
That's where the lasers are. And here's where the big computer's located, right up, right under the bald spot.
In your brain, I understand you got lasers for eyes and you got a computer for a brain.
Now, as it turns out, this guy, especially the fourth guy in the last leg of this race, he did so great.
Yeah, he anchored the team because he just blew away the nearest competitor.
He would have won anyway.
I believe so.
Without leaving. And it was just a half second early. But I was watching, and really, did leave a little early.
You know how much a half second is in Olympic swimming? I mean, it would have looked like the guy was halfway to him, and he jumped in the water.
I was watching, and here's what I was thinking. How would anybody know? Now, I was watching this and thinking this the whole race.
Were you close to the TV with your lasers?
As always.
Were you sitting where you normally sit?
Yes, very close.
2 inches away.
Yeah. I was watching, I was thinking, who's going to know?
Right.
You got all the splashing.
Yep.
You got all the water.
Yeah.
You got the guys coming up and going down.
Sure.
Coming up and going down. Who's to say that
who's going
to
notice the front runner?
The guy doesn't. He was in second place. We were in second place. The Russians, the Ruskies were in first place. The Ruskies were in first place.
That's right. They were.
All I know is it looked
by just a hair.
Yeah, but they were in first, though.
Yeah, I think they were.
And how about our announcers? Our announcers putting super pressure on these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And not only the guys, but the women also that are swimming. I don't know if they're as tough in all of the events.
Right.
But these guys are saying,
Oh, yeah, we're going to win our next gold medal right here. They're going to uphold the tradition of the United States. And as these guys are doing this...
I think they might have had the most pressure that any of the swimmers will feel throughout the entire Olympics because we have such a tradition in the freestyle relay events.
That's what they were talking about.
So like every time, if we don't win any medals, we win that event.
It would be the worst thing in the world
right.
if these four lads didn't win this race.
So, but it's swimming, and there are a lot of variables, and so it can happen.
And as the race is going on, the announcers are slightly the balance is slightly moving as the other nations are going in front.
Specifically, Russia. I think they're saying we could have an upset here.
Our guys start to panic
right.
around the time that they say this. And I was watching the women swim when just women on not in a whole team.
That probably motivated the last guy to leave early. That probably motivated the anchor of the team, the fourth guy to leave a little early, that pressure that...
Nobody else noticed that?
They were feeling.
Nobody noticed that? I swear to God, the three of us were sitting on the couch last night, and I said, he left before he was supposed to.
Right.
Nobody else noticed that except me.
I'm not sure how it's done, but I think that it's a... They have to hit something. And if the guy leaves, I don't know how it's done, but I know that it's monitored, and it's not just monitored by the human eye. I know it's monitored electronically. I'm pretty sure it's not just for the beginning of the race.
Watching another one today where they had women that were swimming, but it wasn't a relay, which is
right.
one woman who had to go like back and forth 6-7 times, mm-hmm. maybe 8 times. Well, they again are hyping this so much that she's got to win this event.
Right.
She's got to get this. She's got to win this heat so she can get some momentum to win us the gold, because we've got to have the gold because we're America, for God's sake. And they're getting so wound up on it. As they're coming down to the end, you can't really tell who's in charge, who's ahead.
Right.
And the announcers go, and it's another victory for the United States. Yes, she's done it. This has to make her feel great. She's won the heat. And it's like these guys aren't even watching what's on the screen, because what's on the screen is a girl from a nation where the flag is yellow and green and black. And they go, oh, hold on. The race not won by the American. The race was won by somebody else. And our American came in third place.
And that's the heat, right? That's for that's for qualifying.
Yeah, and I really, really felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Of course, there was no way that she could be hearing what they had been saying on television the whole time.
Right.
But, God, what incredible pressure.
I think if you win the heat, they put you in the middle of the pool. I think you're in, like, lane number 4. That's
is that better?
I think that's the way I understand, because the Americans last night, the women, were in the winner of the heat was in lane number 4, and I think that's the best heat, that's the best location to be in.
You know, they were saying something like that they were
right.
surprised again that she didn't win. God love us Americans. You know, we want them to win, and then when they don't win, boy, we step on them, we stomp on them. They were saying, boy, she should have won. She was in lane number 3.
Right, right.
Whatever that means.
Well, the only thing they did on the gymnastics coverage last night is, here I am with that American fervor, and I'm feeling great. You know, it's like, pound the competition. I mean, pound them into oblivion, and then...
USA.
They had to go and do that profile of the Romanian team, and I came away feeling so sorry for that Romanian team, because there is a country that really has had a tough time with their dictator, and they did this sappy, syrupy profile, and you come away and they showed a shot of one of the Romanian pixies that was over there, and you immediately say, oh, you know, it tempered it. But then as soon as I saw one of our gals on the vault,
one of our big muscular pixies,
got that American fervor back. Yeah, beat the Romanians.
Now listen, about our pixies, and this is the most important part of what I have to say today.
Okay.
The pixies, and these are our gymnasts.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Everybody loves the pixies, myself included.
Yeah, you can't help but look. Especially the littlest pixie. I think she's cute as a button.
They're intoxicating.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you got to do, though, at NBC. If only we had Rumi Marsky now. If only we could talk to Rudy to get him to... Of course, he would give the coverage an A-minus no matter
sure.
what NBC did.
Yeah, even though, especially, I think, on the gymnastics, the coverage is kind of like, choke.
Now, I found out the gal... It was a very, very, very moving couple of things that happened. She was out there with all the pressure on her. She does her flips, she comes down, she hurts her leg, she has to go back and do another one.
Right.
Or else we're going to lose. And they start with the whole thing, that, you know, the cracks in the Earth's surface and everything's going to disappear unless this gal can get back up there and get a 94 to get us the medal.
Yeah, I fell asleep before that came on, but reading the account of it, you don't get any more human drama than that, where she was actually seriously injured and she had to come back and do one more vault. It was
right.
on the vault that she had to do it.
Right. So she comes up, she does it. It's a great moment.
Right.
The coach
And listen, don't even get me going on these coaches.
Oh, the coaches that they, like, keep behind a wall. Rightly so. They ought to keep them in a cage.
The coaches, the coach, the guy, they got a shot of him going...
Bella? Is this Bella Caroli? Bella Caroli drives
me
nuts.
He's going, yes! He's got that look of triumph. And right as this happens, they break for commercials. Now, I'm watching this and I'm thinking... Have they sold out the Olympics to this extent? I thought it was live last night with the gal.
Hey, said, if you'd listened to Buzz's news yesterday, you would have known it's not live.
Yeah. Found that out. Buzz gave the results yesterday before the event had even played on the TV. So I was waiting for this. I saw the Pixie. They started highlighting the Pixie around the time that we were watching the swimming. They were saying, and women's gymnastics.
Yeah.
First chance for the U.S. to win a gold in 20 years or something like
that. Yeah, this is amazing. It hasn't happened.
So I'm staying with it. I'm sucked into it. And I'm thinking now, it's 11:15.
Right.
They still haven't gotten the Pixie on.
Yeah.
They say 11:30, the Pixie will be on. 11:30, it's Bob Costas. We got 10 minutes of Bob Costas talking about something.
Right.
Then...